SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at the races, hour three, and we're reaching for Jeremy, and we'll. I think he should be around, Casey. Yeah, he said he'd be working till 1 o'clock. So, I just was about to do a search, and I see some very funny top stories. This is great. Lady Gaga fans accused of writing fake Venom reviews to support a Star Wars board. This is great. I don't think the people that are going to go see Venom are the same target audience as are going to see A Star Is Born. how many versions of A Star Is Born do we need? It's got to be the fourth one, right? I think there's four versions. This is the fourth. And I don't know. I'm trying to think if I the original, what do we got? We got the Kris Kristofferson and Barbara Streisand, and you had James Mason and Judy Garland, right? And then the oldest one, Frederick March, I know. In the first version, going back to the 30s, I think. It's unbelievable. I don't know. Something tells me. I mean, given Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, I mean, I'm sure it'll do well. They're certainly advertising the daylights out of it. So, well, looking forward to no Jeremy, huh? You know what you could do? We could flip flop if no Jeremy, you could flip flop with Seth. Because all right. So swing over to we'll get Seth Merrow in here first, and we'll get Jeremy second. And also, we've run long today with virtually. Every conversation. I'm very chatty today. I can sense that. I feel myself being a chat. By the way, tomorrow, I've been holding this one back because I didn't want to wear it out before Tony joined us tomorrow. By the way, Christina Oliveris Blacker with us tomorrow. She'll join us at about this time on Thursday, and we'll do a little Stats Race Lens preview tomorrow night, 6 to 7. Of course, we're doing the Fall Stars Super Saturday Breeders' Cup Challenge weekend webinar. Myself, Craig Walker, and LP3. You're gonna love it. We should have a lot of fun. This is one of my favorite kinds of days. These Wednesdays, the big weekend. 3:30, 4 o'clock, the overnights, although Keeneland's overnight comes out early. You'll have the Keeneland fields real early, as usual. In fact, sometimes by noon, you'll get those overnights. So we'll know about the action right quick, and you can start your handicapping. And for those beyond what we know about Friday's card already, of course, the Alcibiades and the Phoenix, there's also a couple of very good maiden races. Then on Saturday, you're going to be looking at the Breeders' Futurity, the boys going 8.5, the First Lady, the Turf Mile, the Shadwell for the boys. So both the First Lady and the Shadwell, the TCA, Thoroughbred Club of America, Sprint, Fillies and Mares, and the Woodford as well, the turf sprint. So that's Saturday's Keeneland action. That'll be drawn today. Santa Anita, City of Hope Mile, the sprint championship. Looks like Ransom the Moon and Roy H. on a collision course. Also the Speakeasy, which is the first 5-furlong turf stake in basically, you know, feeding in. And don't forget, too, you've got at Woodbine, you got the Mazarine on Saturday, which has been very productive toward the Breeders' Cup, whether it's been fillies going on the main track or turfing. So the Mazarine on Saturday as well, and then into Sunday, the Spinster and the Indian Summer turf sprint for the two-year-olds, feeding into the juvenile turf, which is going to have a pre-entry. There's going to be 39 horses entered in that juvenile turf sprint based on everything I can see. There's just a million two-year-olds that are rumored for that. You've also got the bourbon for the two-year-old boys and the Jessamine as well coming up. And on holiday Monday, the two turf races for the juveniles at Santa Anita. Hammer's got the Surfer Girl and the Zuma Beach and those surfboards and Proctor, right? Proctor seems like he's got a bead on that spot. We haven't had a chance to actually, unfortunately, have not had a chance to talk to Proctor yet about the dynamite filly that he's got, Summering. I mean, newspaper of record, you know, seems to have leapfrogged over everybody, but Summering, you know, she's been touting herself too. There's plenty of Euros. Charlie Appleby's got La Pelosa. Aiden O'Brien, Just Wonderful. There's the Macam Bullet. Don't know a lot about her. O'Brien's got Fairyland. I mean, the Roger Varian, Your Time Is Now. Yeah. Appleby's also got Beyond Reason, the Irish bred. So, yeah, the juvenile filly turf side of things. On the boys, too, Mad Moon seems to be the consensus Prendergast is bringing, and that's the one that has got the biggest murmuring. Aiden O'Brien's got, by my count, 6 2-year-olds that any combination thereof may end up in that juvenile turf. Anthony Van Dyke, Sydney Opera House, Broom, Mohawk, Cardini, and Landforce. Yeah, so full frontal assault from the Coolmore team. Not as many fillies from Ballydoyle. Belmont action, Flower Bowl and Frisette and Futurity on Sunday, drawn today, and the Beldame, the Turf Sprint, the Champagne, and the Hill Prince for Saturday. So great, 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 great weekend is on tap. And yesterday, what did I allude yesterday about the turf sprint? I said Miller and Jason Service. It is, I didn't even count them all up. Stormy Liberal, Contest Tsunami, and there's another one, actually, that I'm forgetting of Miller's. And Jason Service, World of Trouble, Rainbow Air, Pocket Change, and Vision Perfect. So 4. And Christophe Clement has got the Generazios, Pure Sensation and Disco Partner. So, oh, Richard's Boy is the other Miller. So Peter Miller's got 3, Jason Service has got 4, and Clement has got 2. So that's 9 turf sprinters from three barns. It's pretty crazy. Plus, you're looking at Epuchero, Timmy Gleishaw. And, in Primus, the Joe Orsino that had some trouble, in Primus is going to come into the turf sprint dirtied up for Joe O. There's also, who we got to talk to is Paul Matisse and the family. They've got their Pay Any Price, who continues to streak along the turf sprinter. They may turn up in the Breeders' Cup. How about that? Look forward to that conversation. Then there's a bunch of Euros, obviously, and also the Asian Fine Needle, Takahashi. Yeah. And of course the five furlong variety, the sharp turf sprint this year. So keeping a close eye. Casey striking out with both of them? No Seth either? Wow, that's crazy. That's nuts. All right, well then we may turn our attention to a couple of the trainer conversations that I hadn't gotten to early part of the week. And all right, let's take a time out. We'll come back, and if we can't find the regulars, we'll go to the deal-a-meal, deal-a-deck, a surprise guest on the other side. Back after this.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. And yesterday I had promised a visit with Jerry Hollendorfer, and then we ended up stacked up didn't get to Jerry, but we got him right now, just a couple of minutes, because he's heading to the airport. And Jerry, this story with Vasilika, what a tremendous situation. I mean, a claim, you never expect that a claim is going to turn into a grade one winner. Great job. Congratulations.
Thanks. That's just the luck of it. She ended up getting pretty good, so we're very grateful.
You know, you've obviously handled all kinds of horses, and whether you get them, you know, shiny new without any miles on them, or, you know, whether you get them on the used car lot, what goes into this, into, you know, noticing that a horse like this might be more than just a nice claim?
Well, you know, we're just looking for a horse to keep some action in the barn, and so that's why we put in a claim for her that day. I think we had a shake with Bill Spahr, and we got lucky and got her instead of Bill, and then she just kept getting better and better. That happens occasionally, not a lot, but occasionally.
Well, she was a $40,000 claim, you know, going back to February, and you know, she turned around and ran good in an allowance. Then you had the opportunity to run her in Hammer's that starter allowance stake of the NCAA tournament. You got you got one of the signed basketballs, right?
Yeah. I think we did, yeah.
God knows who actually signs the ball, because some great names show up on there. I think Bob Cousy might have been on that ball.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe going back to when I was born, I knew who Bob Cousy was for sure.
I love it. Well, then up the ladder, a couple more allowance wins, and then the maybe, and now a grade one. You know, we just talked about her breeding, Jerry, with Sid Fernando. You know, by Skip Shot, and bit of an obscurity. You've just made her, you know, you've made her worth quite a bit. And what's the upside? I mean, is she a Breeders' Cup filly and mare turfer?
You know, we're going to look at that, and it's certainly not been ruled out. You know, I think those horses coming for that race will be a lot tougher, maybe, although we beat some good ones the other day. So, I mean, we need to do our homework and decide if we want to try to run her in there against some of the best fillies in the world. So, you know, we'll take a look at it and see if it looks like we might do something. We would do that. Otherwise, she'll get a break until the Delmar Fall meet. We'll run her in the Matriarch down there.
Absolutely. Matriarch, a terrific target. And we talked yesterday with Mike McCarthy, and he's, you know, got the same kind of mindset, wondering about Paved, and she ran well in there. And I'm sure Proctor in Cambodia, this was a good group. There's no denying what kind of set of fillies and mares this was. It's just so much fun. It's inspiring, Jerry, for people to look at this and see a $40,000 claim turned into a grade one winner. It makes everybody in the game, it gives them hope.
It certainly does, and we're certainly glad to have her in the barn.
Well, a lot of other things going as we move toward Breeders' Cup, and I do want to ask you about a maiden winner, even ahead of some of the other stake horses, because I was really happy for Michael Stinson and Tom McGreevy dueling on opening day.
Yeah, that's one that Tom picked and Mike bought, and I got to train. Very, very happy to be working for Mike Stinson and with Tom McGreevy, two really class individuals. And we have a classy colt named Dueling that they allowed us to train. So, you know, it's working out all the way around. Very nice win, and Mike rode dueling, and seems like he thinks the horse has a big upside.
How aggressive do you get? This was a mile race. What's in your head?
I don't know. You know, I think no decisions have been made on that yet.
All right, we'll watch. I mean, is it overly aggressive to think a Breeders' Cup juvenile try, or is that too much too soon?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't talked that over with the owners.
How about the boys that come out of the American Pharoah, Gunmetal Gray and Roatan? The game winner was top.
Gunmetal Gray goes for sure.
Nice. And while we're on this topic, talking 2-year-olds, Jerry, a feel for Brill and where you stand with her.
Brill undecided as of this point.
Well, comes out of the third behind Bellafina, who's the hot filly right now. Battle of Midway. What are your thoughts?
I haven't made any decisions yet. You know, it wouldn't. I think we would be happy to take a look at the Breeders' Cup if we could get in that race for him.
Well, the weekend giving rise to a Grade One win for Vasilika. You've got the 2-year-olds, and early in the summer, Gary Young, Jerry said, Baffert and Hollendorfer, they've got the 2-year-olds, and that seems to be coming to pass.
Well, you know, actually there are quite a few good 2-year-olds in Southern California, maybe in Northern California too. So, I think a lot of them will be heard from as time goes on. So if everybody can keep their 2-year-old sound, I think we'll be well represented everywhere next year.
Plenty more probably that we haven't even seen yet. How many unraced 2-year-olds are kicking around yet?
Well, I think Baffert might have a few. So,
how about you?
You know, he always says we have a couple coming up to races also. So we'll see what happens, but everybody's pretty optimistic.
Well, with good reason, and always great to catch up with Jerry Hollendorfer. Jerry, looking forward to seeing who comes to Churchill, and no matter what, keep him happy, healthy, and we'll look forward to getting to Kentucky.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for everything.
Thanks for the visit, Jerry Hollendorfer. And quick hit, checking in. I wanted to ask about dueling, but obviously Gunmetal Gray, and he sounded encouraged about Gunmetal Gray's effort and moving on to the Breeders' Cup. So if you wondered, Roatan, obviously, I sensed the fact that he didn't address Roatan gives us an indication that he will bypass. So add Gunmetal Gray to your juvenile list. I don't know. Dueling, I suppose, I think he got an 82 buyer. It was his third start and his first time around two turns. So they might be patient. I mean, that was a horse that McGreevy indicated that he thought was going to be good. And they may take their time yet. We'll take our time here, a timeout, and come back and visit with Jeremy, who turned up. Not a bad penny, but Plonk has turned up. We'll talk to him next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Back at the races and coming forward to a visit with Jeremy Plonk near the start of Keeneland. And, of course, everybody looked forward to the Friday card coming out yesterday. Saturday card probably being drawn and finished up right about now. And Jeremy, one of the busiest periods of the year for him. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Yeah, and I'm juggling Angie's List and BrickNet at the same time. A little plumbing incident this morning, so I'm sorry I missed you a few minutes ago. But one of the perils of working from home, you don't have a maintenance staff. But my wife and I got things cleaned up, and hopefully we'll get it fixed up later on. But sorry to miss you earlier.
No, that's no problem. We subbed Jerry Hollendorfer in for you. We owed Jerry a call and caught him on the way to the airport. Your Keeneland work, obviously, just is outstanding. For those that haven't visited the Keeneland website, Jeremy's analysis and, the way in which he weaves together the horses from all the different points on the compass coming into Keeneland, the statistical elements of that, so many different, different karma moves that Jeremy keeps tabs on. If you are a Keeneland player, you're probably familiar. If not, you should tie on. And this Fall Stars weekend is always a in your face couple of days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, the stakes are going to come at you fast and furious to start things out. There'll be 30 races opening weekend, and eight or so of them will be, leaning towards Breeders' Cup prep. So just from the strict percentages, the amount of elite horses you're going to see the first 72 hours at Keeneland, will match what you see the next 3 weeks. I mean, that's just the reality of it. But, boy, the entry box was absolutely stuffed, 12s and 14s all over the place on opening day. Really looking forward to the meet. And for me, this is my 21st consecutive meet doing what I'm doing for Keeneland, starting our second decade, and really proud of that association and how it's grown over the years. The first opening day blog is finished. I'm proofing it now, and we posted, I'd say mid-afternoon today, so you'll be able to get a head start on that Friday card a little bit later today, and looking forward to posting that under the handicappers. They put that under the expert selections tab if you're looking for it on the Keeneland website. And then they also asked their public handicappers, myself included, to give top three grid selections. That will go in the consensus grid. So you'll be able to see my picks for each race. But as you mentioned, the way I kind of look at it statistically, race by race, and the trends and the angles, that blog is more for your research and workload and pointing you in right directions. And then my actual picks then are posted not only there but also on the track video feed. And, Steve, something new we're doing this year that I'm excited about. For the first time, some of these stats and trends are going to be woven into the simulcast feed. Jeannie Hieronymus and his group are working on ways to make that happen this week so that you're going to see some of these stats and trends popping up on the simulcast video feed for the first time as well, not just online. So looking to incorporate them in different ways and make Keeneland the special handicapping challenge that it is.
Well, exactly. And people shouldn't be put off. I mean, it's challenging, but a lot of times there's certain trends that, and you rely on them, and there's some, it's interesting when I read your pieces, there's things very often that you uncover that run completely contrary to popular opinion or to, right. anecdotal ideas, that about certain trainers or certain kinds of horses coming from certain other jurisdictions, may be better or worse than people anticipate.
Yeah, and look, I mean, we're all victim of a little bit of the handicapping cliche, right? I mean, we kind of know what happens in big spotlights and we think, okay, this is the reality of it, I mean, even back, let's say, in the Polytrack era, the Alcibiades every year was won by a horse near the front at a huge price. And yet everybody was trying to find these closers all the time because in Polytrack races, you're looking for closers. But when you put the thought process behind it, two-year-old fillies, most of them going long for the first time, out of a 14-horse field, there's traffic for a lot of them. Most of them don't want the distance to start with, right? They're just seeing if they can get a route of ground. Horses that are forwardly placed did well and did well at really big prices in that race. And so those kind of things, are what you look at. And one of the things, like you talk about the Alcibiades this year and in the last 4 years, there's been 4 years since they've gone back to dirt, three times the winner of the Alcibiades has been a horse moving turf to dirt. You think, that's old Polytrack era, that these turf horses were doing good at Keeneland because of the synthetics of the synthetics. But in a lot of cases, they were turf horses coming over that already had some route experience. And I think that's important for these two-year-olds. You don't see a lot of short races for the two-year-olds on turf. So if a two-year-old has turf experience, it's probably at a mile, maybe 7 furlongs at Kentucky Downs. But, it's usually not a dasher. It's a horse who's had a little bit of route foundation, and that's played well in a race like the Alcibiades. So those will be trends that continue. Mark Cassie's got two in the Alcibiades, one coming off the turf, one coming off the dirt. The dirt horse is probably going to be half the price of the turf horse. Catherine the Great's going to get bet more, I think, than his grass runner in there. And he won it last year with a turf horse coming off the turf to the dirt. And, maybe Cassie again comes and pulls that same maneuver. Those are the kind of things we're looking to pick up on and hopefully apply them to some nice scores.
Exactly. And it's interesting that you say that you singled out Cassie as I reach for the PPs, because when I was putting together the list, I wanted to get my working list of Breeders' Cup possibles together. Yeah. One of the ones that one of the ones that I kind of paused long on was Chocolate Kisses, and certainly. You look at the dam, and this was a horse that we talked about with Cassie at Saratoga and with Jack and Debbie Oxley. Jack was thrilled, of course, that they got the win, because he was in that race too with a horse with a horse under his name. I'm going to forget who it was.
Bobcat, I think.
Was it Toy Moon? Was it he?
Chocolate Kisses comes out of the dog tag race. At Santa Anita, the P.G. Johnson.
This was back at the beginning of the meet when Chocolate Kiss is broker maiden, and when they came,
right.
Yeah, when and I and I'm if I'm not mistaken, it might have been. And I guess it was, let's see, but that was the second race. I thought it was later in the card, but anyway, Jack joked that he was glad that she won. He said it keeps things happy at home. And
so I think he's got a real good shot. I think Chocolate Kisses is one you want to watch. And again, we talk about these angles and trends. The sire of Chocolate Kisses is Candy Ride. And for the first 3.5 years of the 4 years that we've had dirt back at Keeneland, Candy Ride had more winners, 21, than any other sire. Now, we saw Tappet, who's really throwing out a lot in numbers. Tappet caught Candy Ride in the spring meet, now has 22 wins. But again, Candy Ride, a prolific sire of horses who run very well in this new Keeneland dirt surface. We call it new, but the modern Keeneland dirt surface now over 4 years old. So you've got a pedigree there to like Keeneland. And again, and you know, it's still kind of a horse for course place. Horses don't get a lot of training over it, right? I mean, it's not like they're here for months and months before the meet starts. You either like it or you don't. One of the best handicapping angles back in poly track and still today on dirt is the record over the racetrack. Horses who have run well here in the past, take a Limousine Liberal, for instance, tend to run well over here, over this racetrack, each and every time. I mean, it's a horse for course place, and I think pedigree plays a lot into that because in many situations, you won't have past starts to go off of, so you go with successful pedigree angles that work here, and certainly Candy Ride's one of those. Arch is my favorite, and shame on Ed DeRosa, who's done a nice job throwing out some great stats there on Twitter in the last couple of days, but he had mentioned the ROI of Arch with his offspring over the dirt at Keeneland. It's phenomenal. It's been an angle I've been playing, and I've been putting in my blogs for the last probably 2 years, but you know, you get some great prices. Those horses typically aren't bet and big overlay. So Arch, another angle and pedigree play on the main track at Keeneland. There's so many fun ways to play this meet. The longer things go in the statistical world and the longer things go in a race meet, the more they all kind of, you know, all the water rolls to the middle and down the drain, if you will, in terms of stats. Everything kind of gets homogenous. That's why I kind of like these short boutique meets from a handicapping standpoint, because I think you're trying to jump on something, and you're trying to jump on something quickly, you know. Mark Cassie gets off to a fast start or a slow start. You know, he's kind of been the tortoise or the hare, you know, using the old terms. And in some meets, when Cassie's first or second horse run well, he has a huge opening weekend. When he doesn't get off to a good start, in the spring meet, for instance, it took him a long time to get his horses on court and then finished up strong at the end of the meet. So you want to watch those things. It's a short meet, and there are a lot of different ways to go, but there are a lot of time-honored things you want to hang your hat on and just kind of let's rely on them and see if they happen again.
Well, the Keeneland action starts Friday, and Jeremy, we will walk through to Breeders' Cup with you and the development, whether it's the two-year-olds or whether it's the older horses, some opinions of where we stand here with the one big Saturday in the books.
Well, I think in the two-year-old ranks, what we saw in California was pretty impressive by game winner, and I think it's going to take a lot to think elsewhere in the juvenile. I think he kind of just laid down the gauntlet and said, you know, come and get me, I'm the horse to beat. What we saw in the Chandelier was so slow coming home that I think you're going to see a gaudy record for Bellafina. You're going to see a lot of connections that people are familiar with, big names, but I think the two-year-old filly rank maybe are a little bit more opened up, you know, than what we've seen with some of the others. So I think Game Winner has probably established himself as one of the real hammer locks, you know, this far out from the Breeders' Cup, of a horse you might want to really hang your hat on. The Classic Division, I don't know. You know, Accelerate didn't come home particularly fast at all in that race. You know, maybe West Coast, with the benefit of a start and a race under his belt, now moves forward. But as well as we've seen Baffert horses run huge, phenomenal, almost mind-boggling races off the layoff, you know, he's not the kind of trainer to say, well, he needed one, now he's going to move way forward. I mean, a lot of Bafferts who are good, they just come and fire right away. So it was a good race on the comeback for West Coast, but it wasn't one of those, oh, my God, he's now, you know, one of the top two choices in the race. So what we saw in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, I mean, that just sends you scurrying for other options, right? I mean, one of the fastest things that happens in all the horse racing, we talk about cliches, is when a long shot horse wins, we all just dismiss the race. And for a discreet lover at 40-1 or so to win the Jockey Club Gold Cup, all of a sudden we just look to the horses behind him and say, ah, no thanks. And for somebody who is forgiving and can come up for a good reason why they like Mendelssohn or Thunder Snow or even Diversify still, then you can be rewarded for that. And I don't say cliche handicapping is the right way to go. I'm just saying it's a common practice. And so a lot of people are commonly just going to draw a line through everything they saw in the Jockey Club Gold Cup and dismiss those horses. Draw a line in the sense of not forget about their race, I should say, but draw a line through those horses in terms of I don't like them anymore. So the classic division's kind of opened up. The Distaff division, is in the three-year-old filly's wheelhouse now, right? I mean, with what we saw with Abel Tasman's performance with the late going on the sidelines, I mean, don't you have to think it's Monomoy Girl and Midnight Bisou again in part five of their rivalry or whatever it will be by the time we get to the Breeders' Cup Distaff? I mean, those are, those kind of races, the three-year-olds have done well in the Distaff. You know, you kind of look at the stats and trends at Keeneland and the Breeders' Cup and things like that. Three-year-old fillies have had a good history in the Distaff, especially hitting the board and running well. So it would be no shock at all for those three-year-old fillies to be able to step up and win. One of the facts, though, towards we're working on that Breeders' Cup Express Bet wagering guide is, the three-year-olds have done very well in the Distaff historically, but not ones making their first career attempt against older horses. Usually the three-year-olds who have had some success in the Breeders' Cup Distaff have been ones who had already taken on older horses. So maybe you don't like the Cotillion pair and you want to try somebody else. But those are the kind of things I'm looking at this point. I try to map out kind of here's the form of what I'm looking for. This is the profile of the horse who wins these kind of races. And now I'm going to wait and see who kind of starts to fit over their last prep or their, season gearing towards it once we start to get full past performances on the body of the pre-entered horses. So a lot to look forward there. After those pre-entries are announced, of course, then we'll have the Express Bet Breeders' Cup wagering guide coming out. And a lot of the stats and trends that I've worked on for so many years for the networks will be available in there exclusively. And, it's a chance to find horses that seem to fit the profile. It can bring you a nice score. As we talk about on Breeders' Cup Day, Steve, you may not have a strong opinion on 12 of the 14 now divisions, but if you have two strong opinions, that can totally make your weekend.
Well, and you mentioned the three-year-olds that have faced elders. Eskimo Kisses might be the three-year-old to keep a close eye on, right? She's running in the Spinster.
Right, right. And the Spinster has been a phenomenal prep for the Breeders' Cup. I mean, 11 horses have come out of the Spinster all time and won a Breeders' Cup championship. 10 have won the Distaff, and then last year we saw Borough Gold turn back and win the Filly and Mare Sprint out of the Spinster. It's been historically a really strong race, especially in the years when it was on dirt. And now you're looking at a Kentucky to Kentucky transfer. The Spinster horses are just kind of going down the road, down I-64 to Louisville, and so I think the Spinster will be a very key place to look. And so a three-year-old taking on elders in the Spinster, you can already start to see the wheels in motion. Now you need to see a pretty good effort, right? I mean, this is how we're talking. Like, these are the profiles of horses you're looking for, but we don't see horses rebound in the Breeders' Cup. You can go, and I don't have the number directly in front of me, but I guarantee it's close to 90%. 90% of Breeders' Cup winners all time have finished third or better in their last prep, at least fourth or better for probably 80% of the horses. If you run a disappointing bad race before the Breeders' Cup, you don't rebound and win a Breeders' Cup championship against 10 other top-caliber horses, 12 other top-caliber horses. So if you like Eskimo Kisses, you're looking for a top-three finish and something that looks progressive and moving the right direction on Sunday in Spinster, and that could be one for you right there.
McPeak, when I was assembling the juvenile list last night, McPeak has got a hatful of two-year-old fillies that I think are going to he's going to throw at the preps at the Jessamine and as well. So look for on the turf, the juvenile filly turf. And you mentioned West Coast and the prep, and Baffert was really, I thought, ebullient about West Coast's effort, and he felt that it will propel him forward. He said five lengths benefit out of that race, and we can tell you this morning in the last hour, word has come that West Coast will stand at Lane's End when the racing career is over. So Lane's End, made a move and scooped up West Coast. Interesting.
Want to slip that? When you talk about a Baffert farm that's won three of the last four classics and ran second in the other, I mean, you know, he's had horses for the Breeders' Cup Classic that have run. I mean, they've all run. And West Coast ran well last year in running second to Gunrunner. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, that it wouldn't be a shock that he moved forward. You just wonder, you know, was that a great tune-up for him in that race, or was that a sign that maybe he's not quite, you know, what he was at his peak? We'll see. I mean, I think he's got the ability to move forward. Horses like that, now what you want to see from West Coast are the works, right? I mean, any second off the layoff horse, this goes for, you know, this goes for a Keeneland claiming race or a Breeders' Cup Classic. Anytime a horse comes back off a long layoff, now what do you want to see? I want to see him get back on the workout tab in about 7-8 days. I don't want to see it dragged to 10 or 12 days until this horse has a work after a race. That tells me it took a little bit longer to get back going. So about 6 to 8 days is about the right range for a horse after a start to get back on the work tab when the next goal is right in front of you like this. And you want to see the horse work really well towards the Breeders' Cup Classic. And that next to last work is usually the key one, right? The last work anymore has kind of turned into a maintenance drill for any of these right. big horses and horsemen. It's the next to last one. So if we're talking the first week of November, you're looking for that one the last, 2 weeks out from the race. That's the big workout. So we want to see West Coast get back on the work tab in 6 to 8 days approximately and not drag into that 10 in double digits. That'll tell me that he came out of the race strong and kicking down the barn. And the other thing is that next to last workout. If that's a big one, then you have Bob's scenario where he's saying this horse moves forward 5 legs. That's what you're looking for if you want him to move forward.
We're going to move forward and send everybody out into the race day. 3 o'clock, HRRN picks up, and we'll talk to you in the morning. Jeremy Plonk, horse player now, and I'm going to send out Jeremy's link to the keys to Keeneland and the keys to the bank vault at Keeneland, courtesy of Jeremy, and we'll keep checking in with Jeremy Plonk. Going to send you out into the race day. Pete Fornatal, Deb Easter earlier, Virginia Equine Alliance, Sid Fernando, of course, Jerry Hollendorfer, and Jeremy. Tomorrow, Christine Oliveras. Tony Black, who got a winner on Sunday, if you missed it, and a wonderful piece in the TDN. Good luck today, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.